Well, it's good to be back here with you today, and it's a mention. If we haven't had a chance to meet before, I was a pastor for almost 20 years when God called us to the mission field. And I just want to encourage you to always be willing to say yes to the Lord. And you'll never regret that. I promise you, you'll not regret it. And it was definitely a big surprise for me and for my family. We went to Croatia. I turned 50 in January, and we arrived in June of that year. And we've been there for 7 years, and this coming June. And the Lord's been good to us. I'm thankful for his faithfulness. Amen. And know that he's always faithful to us. He asked me to preach. I'm like, are you sure? Is this, anything special in particular? He didn't tell me. Dirty Rat did not tell me it was anniversary Sunday. Sorry for the letdown. One of the last times I said, I wasn't going to do this today. One of the last times we had a chance to visit, we were over in the other way, and we've been in country now for 7 years. Four of our trips home have been to Berry Canyon in 7 years. My brother and his wife lived in Moore. My brother was diagnosed with cancer. 45 days later, he was dead. Came home and buried my brother. We'd actually met. And your pastor said, well, if you come back sometime and present the ministry in Croatia, he didn't know it. I didn't know it. We buried my brother and I preached his funeral. We went back home to Zagreb, Croatia. And 2 weeks later, I got a phone call. My mom had died. And so we came back. And we were here with you the second time. And then 2 years ago, we came back and buried my father, Paul, who was the pastor that I followed. He was pastor at the Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. And John Ulrich was my father-in-law. And we buried him. And then just a few weeks ago, I received word. Brother had passed away. My oldest brother, Martin, passed away. He was from Ponca City. And so we came home for the funeral. So we don't like these kind of visits. But it's a part of life. It's a reality of life. And no man guarantee it. Right? Yeah, but we do know this. It's a pandemic. And wants to die. This is judgment. When I invite you to take your Bible, please, and go to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel in chapter 37 is where we'll be, and just to keep your seat here for the moment, Ezekiel in chapter 37. I want to give you a little bit of a background to this particular passage before we read the text this morning, Ezekiel in chapter 37. God has given Ezekiel a difficult task. And he is going to declare their guilt, the guilt of the people of Judah. He's also going to prophesy about the coming destruction of Jerusalem. And he does that in chapter 4, all the way down to chapter 24 in this book, in the book of Ezekiel. So it's quite a lengthy dissertation that the prophet Ezekiel gives to the people about their wrong and what God is going to do in his judgment of their wrong. He's going to completely destroy Jerusalem. Jehovah is going to bring divine judgment upon the 7 surrounding nations that surrounded them as well. And it seems like by the time that Ezekiel gets to this point in delivering and declaring his message to the people, it has to be very heavy for them. Wait a minute, you're telling us that tell us God's going to destroy Jerusalem and not only that, he's going to send judgment upon all the nations that surround us. It's like, wow, could it get any worse? Yes, it can. And it was like having an overwhelming sense for them about what God was saying through the prophet Ezekiel, and it kind of something that would be hard to receive for them. This is hard news that comes to their ears, and how they look, they're just trying to wade through it. And I'm sure that there's been times in your life where things come overwhelming, and it just seems like we're just trying to wade through what we're hearing. We're trying to process. And I know that that's the case when the phone rang when I received the news that my mom had died. And that was on a Saturday night about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm going to preach the next morning. And I'm just trying to process all this and what's going on. And it's overwhelming. And sometimes that's the way that life works, isn't it? Just seems like we can't get ahead. Maybe it's two steps, or it's one step forward and two steps backward. But it doesn't stop there for the people of Judah. The Shekinah glory of God that is rested over the temple is removed. This is the Shekinah glory. This is the very presence of God. It is removed from the temple. Now God's presence is gone. Makes matters worse. False teachers began to abound. False shepherds coming in and giving false messages. And then we look at, that kind of brings us up to where we're at in chapter 37. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to read the scripture this morning. Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 11. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Man, so God has sent Ezekiel to deliver this message, and now he takes him out to this valley, and it's a valley that's dry. He thought it was bad before. It's like just this compounding, and then he sees there's this valley full of, that's very dry, but it's full of bones. And it's almost like God says, okay, Ezekiel, if that's not enough, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take a slow stroll, son. I want you to take a slow stroll and just observe and take a look at where I brought you. I want you to see exactly what you're looking at. It's not just a valley of dry bones. It's very many, and they are very dry. The sense of what I'm trying to help us understand this morning, it just seems like it's just piling up. And Ezekiel, and what God has revealed to him, it just continues. Take this closer look to realize verse 2. They are very dry. And then look at verse number 3. And he said unto me, I'm sorry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, God, only you know what's next. Only you know what's next. Ezekiel prophesies as he's commanded. In the next few verses, God tells him, Ezekiel, I want you to speak to these bones. And so he does. Something miraculous begins to happen, and the bones begin to move, and the bones begin to have life, and they step upon themselves, and for sake of time, the next few verses. But then he says, Ezekiel prophesied again, and so he prophesies again, and he gives breath and life to the bones. Look at verse number 10. And so I prophesied, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry. Read the next phrase with me, please. And our hope is lost. One more time. And our hope is lost. We are cut off for our hearts. Before you're seated this morning, I want to ask you just to look again at the verse that we just read. These bones are. Catch that. Look again, you see it in verse number 11? These bones are. That's present tense. Yes or no? these bones are the whole house of Israel. In other words, there's not one of the house of Israel that has not escaped this particular predicament. This is the present condition of everyone in the whole house of Israel. Notice what it says. They say, that's also present tense. Everyone that was in the house of Israel is saying, they're declaring, look at verse number 11. They say, our bones are dry. They're describing the present condition of where they felt like they were at and the way that things seemed to be. And then they say this, our hope is lost. Catch that again. Present tense, yes or no? Present tense. We are cut off. That's also present tense. Are you catching that? So, stay with me. I know that you're still standing. That's okay. I have to stand the whole time. God uses Ezekiel to prophesy, and he says, listen, here's your message. I want you to tell them how bad it is, and Jerusalem is going to be completely destroyed. I want you to understand the Shekinah glory. Not only that, and God is going to judge them and all the seven nations that are around them. I want you to declare this to them. And for 20 chapters, that's exactly what Ezekiel has been doing. The methods that he's been delivering. And no wonder their bones were dry, right? He's telling them exactly what's going to happen. Then while he's prophesying and giving this message to them, God removes his presence from the temple, and the Shekinah glory of God, the very presence of God, is nowhere among them. And they say, oh, before we get there, then God says, okay, Ezekiel, here, I want to take you and I'm going to put you in a valley. Not just any valley, but the valley of dead, dry bones. I want you to listen closely to my instruction. If you have ever been in a valley, would you raise your hand? I'm not talking about a physical valley. If you've ever been in a valley, raise your hand. Almost every hand. We've gone through some valleys. We're most familiar with Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm, verse number 4. Yea, though I walk, if you know it said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thou art with me. That's the valley that we're all familiar with. But there's some other valleys. Don't raise your hand. There's valleys of discouragement. How long have you been pastoring for there? I'm sure. I mean, surely you've never gone through a valley of discouragement that's why I have. Remember, I was a pastor, missionary, so I can tell you, the ministry is full of valleys. That's why you should pray for your pastors. How many of us have ever been through a valley of discouragement? Raise your hand. Then sometimes there's a valley of discouragement and a valley of death. Sometimes there's a valley of despair. How's that different? This is the valley that Ezekiel finds himself in, and the nation of Israel, and they say, our hope is lost. Sometimes the valleys are so deep and so dark, we not only get discouraged, there's despair begins to set in. We look all around looking for signs of hope. Kind of glory, the presence of God doesn't seem to be anywhere near. What am I gonna do? How many of us have been through the valley of despair when it seems that all hope is lost? Would you raise your hand? The last question, the last valley that I'll describe for the moment, I'm not gonna ask for a show of hands. Just telling you that up front. Sometimes when you go through the valleys, and sometimes you go out one valley right into another. It's valleys, plural. Sometimes they're discouragement, sometimes it's despair, sometimes it's the valley of death. Sometimes there's a valley of depression. Now I've asked you for a show of hands, and everyone has been gracious enough. And I think if you've been through a valley before, would you raise your hand and keep your hand held real high? Now everybody look around. See, I want us to understand when you go through a valley, you're not the only one that's ever gone through a valley. Sometimes though, now hold your hand. I said hold your hand up. Sometimes when we go through the valley, though, we feel like and we begin to think, I'm the only one. Yes or no? Now you can put your hands down, but stay standing. Here's my last question for the moment. We just all raised our hands and said we've all been through some valleys. Now's the tough question. You decide whether you answer or not. I wonder how many people might be here today. They just say, go out. I've not been to the valley. I'm in the valley. And I think people pray for me because I'm in the valley. Right now, would you remain standing and let everybody else be seen? I've not only been through some valleys, I'm in a valley. I need people to pray. Again, I just remind you of my gifts for Sunday, and I don't want this to sound like a downer message. But we all stood and we all raised our hand and we all said, I've been through some valleys. So we all know how it feels. You have to know when you go through valleys. We all know how tough valleys are. Yes, I'll say amen. These people right here are being very open, very transparent, and they're just saying, I just want people to know I'm going through a valley. All I can tell you for those of you that are standing and for everybody who raised their hand is this. I didn't know what today was. All I can tell you, brother, Eric asked me if I would preach this time and time again. God just kept bringing me back to this. And I don't preach this message. I had another message that I wanted to preach. But God just kept bringing me back. I've never preached this message before. Part of the reason I didn't preach it is because I'm there too. Those of you that are standing, thank you for your honesty. Now, would everybody do me a favor? Before these are seated, would you turn around and look to see who's standing so that you know how to pray for them? You can be seated. 126 times in the Word of God, we find the word valley. That's a lot of valleys. There's a lot of different descriptions and valleys, some of which I've just mentioned previously in our introduction. But again, this 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23, if you would, I want you to put a mark in Ezekiel 37. But I'm going to ask you to turn back to the 23rd Psalm that is so familiar to us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. And comfort me, verse number 4. The psalmist David had a grasp of something that we need to get a hold of today. He was a man who didn't understand not only what it meant to go through a valley, but how to go through a valley, how to survive the valleys. And my hope this morning is that you don't find yourself in the valley of despair. You say, it just feels like all hope is lost, like the nation, the people of Israel, and it said the whole house of Israel, they all felt that it was present tense. Did you see that when you read Ezekiel 37? They said, all hope here falls. I want you to understand something. We didn't finish reading all of Ezekiel chapter 37. And I want you to understand something this morning. It might be that you're beginning to feel that you bought into Satan's lies, and he wants you to believe that all hope is lost. But I want you to understand something, my friend. It doesn't matter what valley you are in, what valley you came from, or what valley you might face in the future, all hope is not lost as long as you know Jesus Christ in your city. David was a shepherd boy who God made a king, and God used him in a great and mighty way, but David was far from perfect. And I'm telling you, if you read the word of God, you understand he had his shortcomings. But yet he gets a hold of something here that I think that we need to get a hold of. It's easy for us to forget when we're in the middle of a battle. It's dark and lonely in the mountains, isn't it? Yes, sir. You guys aren't going to beat the Presbyterians to the buffet if you don't participate. It's hard and lonely. The cracks and crevices of the valleys are enemies. Sometimes what we think are monsters. Those dark shadows cause a lot of fear, even in a believer's life. I can tell you this much. When you're in the valley, and it seems like the presence of God has been removed, nobody cares. You're just walking down this valley and you're all by yourself. Maybe you're surrounded, kind of like right here. You're surrounded by people, but you feel all alone. You understand? You know what exactly I'm talking about. It just seems like nobody cares and you're all by yourself. And I want you to understand, when you're all by yourself, you begin listening. Not so much to the Holy Spirit of God, but your mind starts running wild. What's going to happen? Sometimes it starts out like a BB, but that little BB of fear just begins to become a mountain. And instead of thus saying the word of God, we go, what if? What if this happens? What if that happens? And then this happens and that happens. And the fear begins to just build and mount. We've all been through the valleys. We've all given that testimony. But I want us to look again at Psalm 23, verse number 4. It says this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, for thou art with me, thou rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But let's not just jump into the middle. Let's understand this psalm. I'm going to try to do it very quickly. Look at verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the Lord. But notice all caps. That's the Lord God Jehovah. He is my shepherd. You know what David said? Hey, the Lord God of all of heaven and earth, the one who controls all things, the one who spoke this world into existence, the one that holds the sun and the moon and the stars in space, the one who holds them there, that's my God. And he is the Lord God Jehovah. And David, when he was in the valley, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not just going to be able to say that God's my shepherd. And not only that, not only is he my shepherd, that means that I gives sheep. David was reminding himself, and he reminds us to be reminded to know Christ as your Savior, that it doesn't matter how deep the valley is, or how dark it is, or how long it is. Don't forget that he's your shepherd and you're his sheep. But he also realizes and begins to define, begins to describe, begins to delineate for us what it means to be, for him to be your shepherd and for you to be his sheep. Because in the next few verses, he begins to describe the shepherd's care for his sheep. He says, I shall not want. I'm not going to be in want. I'm not going to lack. His hand does not wax short on your behalf. I want you to understand something, my friend. While it may seem like you're all by yourself, there is no one else around, God has not forgotten where you're at. You have not gotten lost in the heart of God. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows how deep and how dark your valley is. And his hand does not wax short on your behalf. He maketh me to lie down. You know this passage of scripture. He maketh me to lie down. It speaks of peace. It speaks of rest. It speaks of his desire for us to have peace and rest. And it says, I need to put my eyes on that. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He gives us the freedom. Why don't you just lay down? Try laying down. He maketh me to lie down. Here's something that helps us. Don't make God make you lie down. Why don't you just try lying down? Why don't you try finding the peace that David came to understand? Sometimes we don't learn it, we don't do it on our own, and he has to make us to lie down. Just by your freedom to lie down and find rest and find peace that God wants for you, don't make him make you lie down. He made me to lie down in green pastures. Green pastures, the food, the strength for the sheep, the provision for the rest. Is found in the valley. The food and the provision that is needed for the rest of the journey that still lies ahead. Your journey is not over. It's not just in the verse we just read. Yet my mom. Yet walk through the valley. Yet I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Richard. Through. Here, if you're somewhere else, maybe it makes sense, maybe it doesn't. But wherever you are, but here, right now. He leadeth me beside the still waters. These sheep are very skittish by nature. Anybody ever raised sheep? Are they not truly some of the dumbest animals ever? These pastors, years ago, we had a man in our church, and he was one of the deacons in the church, and they raised sheep, and So when he would go on vacations or get away, because when you're a sheep farmer, you don't have vacation unless you got somebody to care for the sheep, right? So guess what? I was a youth pastor. Hey, brother, sheep, oh God, yeah. And so he would take care of the sheep, son, and dog's hands. But also very skittish, full of fear. Isn't it funny how God knew that that's the way that we would be a lot of times? And chooses to use the example and the picture that he is our great shepherd and we are his sheep. Sometimes because we're stupid. And sometimes because we're so skittish, we're so afraid, we're so full of fear. Brother Brown is the deacon's name. And I remember the very first time we watched, we're going to watch the sheep. He takes me out to the barn and he's going to open the barn. And before he ever got to the barn, he's like, okay, but I watch this. It starts calling. So my first night, when he's gone, I tie that. Then they're out there and they're like, who's that guy? Never came into the barn. Not until I got the feed out. See, they knew his voice. Didn't recognize him. David, the psalmist, is helping us remember how much God, the shepherd, cares for us, loves us. Do you know that sheep will rather die from thirst than drink from running brook? He maketh me to lie down on green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul to bring back to life. It's not all hope is not lost. He leadeth me. Something interesting about that. He leadeth me. You see, you can push cows, but you don't push sheep. Wives, this is a good time to sharpen your elbow. Get your hanky out, say amen. But maybe you better not. Your husband is bullheaded. Right? See, the problem with us a lot of times is we're bullheaded. We want to do our own thing and we want to go our own way. What God wants us to do is to listen to his voice and follow his leadership. Point three, there's to be free will beings. He's not going to force you to trust him as your Savior. He's not going to force you to follow him. He gives you a free will choice. And he wants you to follow him. So that's what you should do. Follow him. Listen. And follow his leadership. Follow his guidance. Notice what it goes on to say. He leadeth me. He leads his sheep. And especially as the days go by and the world goes on before us to choose the best path. He leads us. And he knows what's ahead. A good shepherd is going to go ahead. You know what that means? That means that any valley that you're going through, he's already been through it. Because the good shepherd goes before his sheep and checks things out, what lies ahead. He knows what kind of valley you want to. He knows that the dangers are there. But he wants you to listen to him and be dependent on him. And listen, what is it for? What is this valley for? I don't understand. For his name's sake. Sometimes we think that we're on the hook. We think that we're the ones that are at risk and we're going through the valley. God does it and he allows it for his name, I should say. Look at verses number 4. That valley does not end. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't end there. It's not intended to be that solemn place. Yes, the valley is a low place. Yes, the valley's all been a dark and scary place. But can I ask you to think about this? A valley cannot exist without some mountains. There can be no valley unless there's some high places. Also think about this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there can be no shadow without the presence of light. Sometimes it seems like the shadows are very dark and that light is completely missing. But I promise you that He is there. The other thing to understand is the best thing we like it on the mountaintops. That's where we want to stay. But the best way to reach the mountaintop is by passing through the valley. It's a whole lot easier to pass through the valley and navigate the mountain and work your way to the top than it is to climb straight up the rock face. And a lot of times we just want to climb up and go down the valley as fast as we can. But God has something else intended for us. We may have to tread the dark valley. We may have to tread the shadows and the dangers. But I have read of the promises of His presence. Again, verse 4, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff. There's something about that as well that I'll just mention quickly. Thy rod and thy staff. These are the instruments of correction. These are the instruments of protection. They're also the instruments that give us comfort. Thou preparest to take me before me in the presence of my enemies. God will strengthen and sustain you, even when we feel overwhelmed, even when we feel like we're outnumbered and the enemy is all around us. God makes it so that we can sit down in our very presence, even surrounded by the enemy. Now anointeth my head with oil, and He says this, my cup runneth over. You see what the shepherd does is he a can I give you this blessing? Oh, you can just be seated. I can give everybody a good bet. Okay. What the shepherd does, he'll part the wool of that sheep and he's looking for wounds. He's looking for little scratches, for little hurts. You stand back over here, you can't see him. Think about this, the very nearness of this shepherd. And he puts his hands, he'll begin to part that wool. And he's looking for those little ouchies. He's looking for the little ouchies, Bridget. The hurts. The little things that, you know, kind of like that bird that gets under your saddle. You let it sit there long enough, and before long, you can't ride the horse anymore because it's so infected and it's so... Come on, everybody, you understand what I'm talking about? Those little hurts that come in life, and he's looking for those things. And then it says, not only that, my cup runneth off. What he does, he takes that cup, and he'll dip it down into a bucket, and he pulls up the oil to anoint that sheep to help protect it from and to heal the hurts. And he doesn't just use it sparingly, preacher. Oh, I love this. Here's something you understood. My shepherd, he's my shepherd, and I'm his sheep. He doesn't hold anything back. He's going to give me more than enough to heal the hurts. It's one thing for your cup, but oh, I'm so glad that my cup runs over. My cup runs over. And then you know the last verse here. Surely goodness and mercy all the days of my life will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely. I can know that. I'm assured of that. But I'm assured of His presence. I trust, I know that His goodness and His mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, not just some days. Not just when it's bright and clear, but all the days of my life. Even when the valleys are deep and dark and long, all the days of my life. Actually, this question is plain. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever just occurred to God? Well, it just occurred to me. We say that. Nothing ever just occurred to God. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what your valley is. He knows how deep it is. He knows how dark it is. He knows how long. And it's for His namesake. The psalmist David, who went through many dark valleys, said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Can I ask you a question this morning? Is he your shepherd? Are you sure that you're one of his sheep? Have you received the gift of eternal life? Will you dwell in the house of the Lord forever? As it says in John 10, 27 and 28, that he's given to you eternal life, and no man can pluck them out of his Father, his name, or his Father's hand. Do you know that he is your shepherd? Go back to where we started, Ezekiel 37. We're going to draw to a close. I'll invite you to stand, please. Ezekiel 37. I told you we had not read all of the chapter, and we're not going to read it all, but I am going to ask you to look at three verses. Verse number 12. He's just declared in verse 11, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, and they say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our hearts." Then God says to Ezekiel, "Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it." Thus saith the Lord. Look up here for a minute. Everything you say is all present tense. And I don't mean that you're in a valley right now, but God's not finished yet. He's not finished yet. Don't give up on him because he's not giving up on you. You might be in that valley. You might feel like this is a valley full of balls and it's dead full of balls and what's the use? And I want it quick and I hope it's lost. There were promises in those three verses that there was in verse number 11. Shout, shout, shout. God's not finished yet, my friend. He's not finished yet. Go to Psalm 23. And I understand that this is not part of the inspired part of our scripture, but if you look at Psalm 23, I want to show you something that maybe you've never seen before. I don't know. Maybe you have. But I want to call it to our attention again in Psalm 23. Look at the very beginning of the psalm. Everybody starts in Psalm 23. Everybody said, say that. Now, in a lot of our Bibles, between Psalm 23 and between that and verse number 1, there'll be a little caption. A little description of what's to follow. And this is what it says in my Bible. Maybe it said something like this in yours. David's confidence in God's grace. David's confidence in God's grace. How many of you read your Bible that says something like that? It's just a little heading. It kind of summarizes the chapter. what role is that serving? You see, a lot of times when we're in that valley, we forget. But as they summarize this chapter or this psalm, the summary that they gave to it was this: David's confidence in God's grace. He's promised that his grace is sufficient for all things. How many of us have ever been through a valley? You visited the valley of despair, where all hope is lost. Been through the valley of discouragement, been through the valley of depression. Been in some scary places, listening to the little voices, the fear begins to take over. Some said this morning, they're in a valley. I would venture to say it probably wasn't just the people that stayed standing. There's probably some others. I just don't really want everybody to know it about my valley. I'm going to tell you about this time. I'm going to ask Pastor to come. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. We're going to close the service.